Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, on the day he was born, the nurses certainly all stood around. And we all continue to gaze in wide wonder at this joy that we found. His name is Ray Dininger. He joins us every single Wednesday at this time for an entire hour. And, of course, he'll be taking phone calls along with us for the next hour. The Hall of Famer, Ray Diddy. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
Doing just great, Joseph. How about yourself?
Ray, I'm doing good. You know, we got a 3-2 Eagles season that has now, they got things worked out a little bit. Or not, I shouldn't say worked out's not the right term. They're back on a level playing field where you're kind of more near where you thought they'd be.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So let me ask you this, Ray, just right out of the gate, and we probably won't talk too much about the Jets game because, you know, what the heck. But do you take much out of the Jets game? Or is that team so bad that it's even hard to evaluate what the Eagles are on the basis of it?
The latter.
Wow.
The latter. I've gotten a lot of people really coming after me for saying that. But I said it first up on the postgame show. You know, Michael, this is one of the rare occasions where Michael came to me first on the postgame show. Normally he allows me to do all my note taking and everything, but this time he came to me first, so I was the first one out of the box. So I really didn't know where Seth and Barrett kind of stood on it, so I just kind of had to shoot from my own hip. And I said that I was underwhelmed. I mean, I thought the defense played – obviously, defense played great, but it's against a team that was – wouldn't even been a good JV team, really. And my feeling was, yes, at 3-2, you've kind of got the season back on track. You're kind of where you would hope to be after five games, and all of that stuff is fine. But I did not like what I saw with the offense. I really did.
Well, Ray, let's get to this. And again, we're going to get to calls with Ray here shortly at 888-729-9494. Ray, one of the things that has clearly stood out about the offense this year, and it makes it very different, for instance, than the Super Bowl squad 2 years ago, they're a shoot themselves in the foot squad offensively.
To this point, you would say that, yeah.
They're a drop the ball team. They're a get an 8-yard run team. Oops, hold on, bring it back. An offensive lineman held. They're an offensive lineman, illegal downfield team. They've had a lot of those things. They've had the false start. Okay, 1st and 10 becomes 1st and 15. I don't think they had that last game, but they've had that. Like, they've had, you know, kind of like the unforced errors, if you will. What do you make of that, Ray? I mean, and I guess the more important question is, from history, how do you get out of that?
I don't know. Your partner could probably speak to more than I could. I just know that you just kind of work through it. I kind of thought for a while, I was attributing a lot of it to the what I considered to be the preseason, where you get so little unit work. I just kind of thought that a lot of that sort of sloppiness that you kind of work out over the course of the preseason being what it is now, that it sort of bleeds over into the regular season. But at this point, I think you should be past it. But there's no doubt that that's part of it. And I think you could see in Doug's post-game press conference his annoyance with it. I mean, I've never seen a coach look unhappier after a 31-6 loss, which to me, frankly, I was kind of glad to see it. I mean, I kind of wanted to see him say, you know, we have to be better than this, as opposed to coming in and saying, wow, whoopee, 31-6, wasn't that a great win? I mean, he recognized what they are right now, and he also recognized the challenge that lies ahead over these next 6 weeks. And I think he was already feeling it, but they got to – they certainly have to get better because Lord knows they're going up against a much better defense this week.
I do think that you hear all the cliches, attention to detail and execution. And when I hear that stuff, it's like my brain just turns off. I don't know why. I think that that's what happens to players too. When the coach, if Doug stands up in front of the team and says, come on guys, I mean, obviously attention to detail wasn't there. We're not executing. We got MAs, that sort of thing. That doesn't correct it. And if that's the way he's going about correcting it, you're going to keep seeing it. Like, this needs to be, in my you know, recollection, what worked for teams that I was on is if a coach goes crazy and ratchets down the intensity of practices and forces this down your throat. Guys, we are going to lose if you play this way. Like, this is no longer going to happen, and I'm going to make sure of it. We're going to put the pads on. We're going to hit each other. I'm gonna basically make you guys regret playing the way you've been playing. Mm-hmm. You know, like ridicule, scorn, austerity, just like that's what's necessary right now. And I don't know if Doug's good at that. Like, I love that the guys love him. Or I love that they appreciate that, you know, he's been there, he's done that. He's not going to ask them to do things that he hasn't done or wouldn't do. But right now, when you've got this much, it's not just one guy. It's not just one
position.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
It is all over the place.
They're undisciplined. They play an undisciplined brand of football.
Right.
They do.
And historically, teams that I was on, if we were playing a team that was undisciplined, we knew we had them because we knew that when the balances are all weighed out, they would make more mistakes. We would make less. That would put us in a better position to win. We were, you know, stronger minded. It really does matter.
Well, here's the thing. No question. It's interesting you say that.
This is Doug's weakness.
Well, look, there's a lot in what you just said, John, and I think there's a lot of good stuff there. And one thing that hits me, though, Ray, is I'd rather have a talented team that's undisciplined that I think can become disciplined than an untalented team that's disciplined.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and that's where, like, for me, the hope as an Eagles fan is
I think
if they
any
get this
team,
stuff together.
Any team can become disciplined if the coaching staff goes about it in the right way.
Demanding it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to expect it, and if you don't get it, then there are going to be repercussions. You're going to pay the price. And I have yet to see that occur here.
Well, one of the problems that you have now, and you know, everything John said is just, I mean, he's 100% correct. Historically, that is the way you used to work through these things. I mean, you would just, the coaches would come down and it would just be hell week, you know, and they would just run the film. They run the film and they would run the film and they would stop it and they would point out all the mistakes and say, this is unacceptable. That we can't continue on this way. And we go out in the practice field today. We're going to work until we get this thing right.
Yeah.
That was what guys used to deal with. But the way that things are set up now with the restrictions you have on the practice field in terms of how long you can work, how hard you can work, how physical you can be, makes it harder to achieve that. I remember, this is going back to the Jimmy Johnson days in Dallas. I went down there to advance an Eagles-Cowboys game. The Eagles were coming in on Sunday. And I went down there like on Wednesday just to do a Cowboys piece. And there was no restrictions to watching practice. Jimmy didn't care. He could come in and watch practice. It didn't matter to him. And I walked on a practice field. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they were in full pads, and they were killing each other on the practice field. And the coaches were screaming at them, and they were hitting on every play. And, I mean, it was a full-out, in the middle of the season, scrimmage. And I said to Johnson when it was over, I said, you know, what's up with that? And he said, we played like, you know what, last Sunday. He said, and I'm not tolerating it.
Wow. Anymore.
He said, these guys are better than that, and they have to be better than that if we're going to go win a championship. So we're going to work that out right here on the practice field so that we don't have that again next Sunday.
Yeah.
But see, the way the rules are set up today, I don't know if you can do that.
I don't know if you can either. Like, it used to be if you started a period and you had a couple fumbles and that sort of thing, and then you went and you had some bad plays and mistakes, coaches would say, all right, we're going to restart the period. We're going to restart the practice.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go the whole way back to the beginning, and you're out there for an additional hour and a half.
I saw Vermeil do that many times.
They can't do that. They're not allowed. But that works.
Yes, it did work.
All right. 94.
You can find a new level of focus if you know you have to. Otherwise, you're going to be out there until the next day. Like, that's what's required here.
This is good stuff. 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, of course, from the Tasty Cake Studios. Ray Dittinger with us for an hour. Let's go to the phones. Hamp and Horsham. What's up, Hamp?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi,
Ray,
Hamp.
Looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks at the Pals Dinner.
Okay, yeah.
There you
Pals
go.
For life, right, exactly.
Hamp, if you can, get off that speakerphone, please. It's hard to hear you right now.
All right. Okay, hold on.
Go ahead, man.
John, I hate to disagree with you, Wait a minute. Let me get this off.
All right, Hamp, we're going to come back to you. We will get right back to you. Tony and Ridley. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're fine.
Great.
What's up, Tom?
Ray, this is the first time I've been on the phone with you, so nice to meet you.
No, fellow Ridley guy. Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, I love you on the post and the pregame.
Thank you.
John, I agree 100% with you. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't still a little sore over the fact, after finding out what these other teams got the players for, that yeah. Howie didn't. Well, like Minka Fitzpatrick, could have used that, could have used JVN Clowney. And you see what they got in return for the player, and it's like, why couldn't we make that happen? We know our secondary isn't that great.
Yeah. That you know, we didn't even mention the Minka Fitzpatrick thing. I mean,
no, you haven't, but that's like one thing that's been on my mind for weeks.
Yeah.
Can't get them all, though, Tony. That's the other thing. I mean, I know a lot of people just want a bunch of different guys. I mean, my point the whole time is you're probably only going to make one trade, probably.
And, no, I agree.
You know, I mean, Howie could be waiting the closer to the deadline to find out what he actually really needs the most.
Yeah, but just like John Middleton's going to find out when you wait that late. It's like going Christmas shopping the week before Christmas, and all the good stuff's gone, and all you got left is that $20 makeup kit at Walgreens.
Yeah. You get that Charlie Brown Christmas tray. You know, it's not such a good tray to drag in the house.
Yeah.
Tony,
true.
What do you got
and
for
you know
a great family?
The Simpsons.
Simpsons.
Ooh.
Tony, you got it, buddy. Appreciate it. All right, so let's
great
get to
answer.
That, Ray. The idea of the holes. The Eagles clearly have issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like five or six big ones. The ones that have been talked about the most this year clearly have been the lack of pass rush and the cornerback play.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly they've been discussed the most. Now the more this Deshaun injury goes on, you wonder if that's an area they've got to target. You know they've got the D-tackle issue with, you know, two of their top three guys out, with one of whom's going to be out the entire season. When you look, and of course the Seumalo thing, let's not forget him and that. Now, Ray, when you look at the what's up ahead here in just a couple of weeks with the trade deadline, if you could add one position that they address, one spot that they address, you think is most critical they address, which is it?
I would probably still go in the secondary. But part of the reason that I think that Howie was waiting a little bit just to kind of get a sense of which of the injured guys he's going to get back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, some of these guys are coming back. You know, Maddox will be back at some point. Mills will be back at some point. And I think he was kind of just waiting to see how close they were to rejoining the fold before he decided to take the step to, am I going to pick up a player in this area or this area?
Right.
At what point does my secondary become not whole, but closer to being whole, or at least functional? But if I were them and I'm looking at what's out there, and the teams that I think are approaching the point of midseason are just cutting their losses and starting to trade some guys, I mean, Chris Harris still interests me. Because Chris Harris can still play. I think he's a guy that, you know, listen, he's won a Super Bowl. He really doesn't want to finish his career on a team that's going nowhere. I think if he had the opportunity to go somewhere to a team that has a chance to win, it would sort of re-energize him. Not that he's playing poorly now. I mean, he's a guy that still has a lot of good football left in him, and he wouldn't command the price that you would have to pay for Jalen Ramsey. I mean, you could probably get, as you get closer to the deadline, you could probably get Chris Harris for a three, which to me is, I would do that in a heartbeat, because he's still really good, and I think he could play within this system. But if you're asking me what's the one area, I mean, they have others for sure. But I would still probably lean towards the secondary, because I don't know what you're going to get. You know, they talk about Ronald Darby's going to come back. Well, how much is he going to help?
Yeah.
How much has he helped to this point?
How good is he anyway?
Yeah, and yeah. You know, and I've heard, you know, Sidney Jones is ready to come back. Well, fine. For what, four plays, and then he's going to be out again?
Yeah.
I mean, some of this, all these guys will be back, these guys will be back. But, okay, when they come back, do they really help the situation
right.
long term? You know, I mean, that's what you really have to weigh now.
Ray, the Deshaun situation, how much has your personal concern grown the longer he's been out, that they just might not get much from Deshaun this season?
I'm concerned because it's so obvious that what they lacked without him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're a very, very different offensive team without him.
And then, by the way, if I may just, and then you get a guy like Mac Hollins for 60% of the plays. Like, he's just not designed to be out there. If you have a full squad, Mac Hollins is out there for two plays. He's not out there.
Correct.
So you got a whole lesser player out there for half the game or more that you just don't want to have on the field.
And what we're finding out, what we're seeing with Aguilar, and listen, I really like, I like him. I've been a defender of his all along. But there's a pattern with him that the more you need him, the less he gives you. Yeah, he's much better when there when you have the rest of your offenses in place and he can just kind of be do his role.
Right.
You know, the more you need him, the less you're going to get. It seems to be a diminishing returns kind of thing with him. And right now, I mean, he's kind of almost back to where he was a couple years ago when he was obviously fighting this confidence thing. I mean, he had one catch last Sunday and he fumbled that one out of bounds. I mean, in the middle of the field, that would have been a fumble too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to get him on track too. I mean, that also is part of the problem. I mean, he's healthy, but he's not helping you
right now. Nelson Aguilar is extremely frustrating to me. I know that you like him and you've liked him since he was at SC for his athletic ability, his route running, the way he could pluck the ball out of the air. But when he plucks the ball, sometimes he drops it. Sometimes he fumbles it away. That becomes, it sort of cancels that part out. And to your point, unless he's the third receiver where you got the two best cornerbacks on the other two guys, he doesn't get open the way he needs to. And yeah, right now, this is a mistake for Howie. Like, you look at Howie deciding to give this guy $9.43 million this year, it's a missed assessment of what Nelson Aguilar has become. I mean, I understand you've seen good, you've seen bad, but it's Howie's job to project this out and determine whether this is a guy who's going to help the team. He's not. So I guess what we've been talking about today, for Ray, for your benefit, is I believe that people are we are giving Howie Roseman too big a break for what he's brought this city in the past. And we're not looking at the here and the now of the way that this team is constructed, that we have some faults throughout, that right now it's like put up or shut up time for Howie. We have serious holes we got to fill. And the wide receiver spot, we keep coming back to this wide receiver spot. And it's not just because we don't have a fast guy anymore because Deshaun's hurt. I mean, you paid Deshaun a lot of money at 32 to come in and play for hopefully close to a full season. Well, that's certainly not going to happen now. And now we're at the point where we have no idea if we'll get, what, six games out
right.
of him?
You don't know.
The last couple years, our speed guy has been a problem. Like, we don't have a backup plan when we take away the guy who takes the top off. And now, right now, you got Alshon, who's, you know, pretty good, not great. He's getting paid like he's great. And Mac Hollins, who was supposed to be something a lot more. We had huge plans for him when he was making plays right out of college, and then he got hurt and banged up, and not someone we can depend upon.
And Arthega Whiteside looks not ready.
Arthega Whiteside looks like he's got the Nelson Aguilar, like, oh, man, now I'm not as confident because I've failed in games. It's like, what are we to do at the wide receiver spot other than go Tiger, put two tight ends on the field, and hope that, you know, they pull coverage to help out our wide receivers now? It's not supposed to. It's like backwards.
Yeah.
It's inverted. And this goes to what Howie has created here. Yet everyone says, hey, I trust Howie.
Yep.
Trust him above all else. He gets the benefit of the doubt no matter what. Right now, our team has got some issues.
All right, to the phones. Let's talk to Hamp in Horsham. Hey, Hamp.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that before. Hey, John, I want to say I think you have to give Howie until the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And see what he's able to do. I mean,
right. You
made the comment earlier that we have to get younger. And to me, it was not worth giving up two number ones or a number one and a number two to get a hold of Ramsey. And as Ray said, if we can get Harris from Denver for a three or a four, I think that's a much better deal economically. Mm-hmm. In terms of building the team for the future.
Well, if you're talking about building the team for the future, Chris Harris is 30 years old compared to 24 for Jalen Ramsey. So that sort of doesn't work that way either. Chris Harris is beginning to potentially lose a step in the next year or two, whereas Jalen Ramsey would give you six before he's as old as Chris Harris is now.
Well, that's true, but you're given a, is he worth two number ones? That's my question. Let me ask you guys another question. Who makes the decision in terms of who's on the team? Because Mac Hollins was supposedly a great special team player, and I don't think he played special teams at all on Sunday, and he's not catching the ball. Whatever happened to Greg Ward? Greg Ward caught every ball they threw to him, and the answer was that Hollins was a better special teams player.
That was the decision. I mean, that was how they explained it, was that they felt that the Hollins was a guy that made the roster based on what they felt that he was going to contribute on special teams. And I know that Dave Phipp, the special teams coach, has a lot to say about who makes the team and who dresses on Sunday. And frankly, yeah, I'm surprised that Hollins had zero role on special teams last week. That was a surprise to me, because that's ostensibly, that to me, that's the reason he's dressing on Sundays.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, Greg Ward can catch the football, which Aguilar can't do right now. Is Ward still around, or did somebody else pick him up?
He's on the team.
Hamp, they view him, it seems like, as more of an inside guy, slot guy, to replace Nelson if Aguilar is out. And that's what I believe is the reason. But I agree with you. He did have an impressive camp, and it would have been nice to, you know, see him in a little bit more of an expanded role here.
But Greg Ward is a guy that I wouldn't mind putting back there to return punts.
Well, maybe they go that way. Hamp, what do you got for best family?
Howie and Chris Long.
Oh, look at the Longs. You got it. Ray, when you think of a great family, fictional or real life, a great family?
Fictional or real life?
Yeah. I do notice the Eskins haven't been said yet. It's 3 hours and 11 minutes into the show. I'm just saying, they haven't been said.
Oh, I don't know how you can beat the Corleone family.
Yeah, that was said early.
Yeah,
that was.
And when you ask me that straight up, that's the first thing I think of.
Yeah, that was said. All right, so Ray, we also are going to need, if you don't mind, a little judgment from you today.
Okay.
Because John and I, of course, are going to be turkey bowls back this year, Thanksgiving Day on WIP.
Ah, okay.
And we thought, you
turned this into a real tradition, you two.
We hope so. We think so. By the way, for those that don't know, Ray, have you heard the finalists for Turkey Bowl?
I have not.
All right, so here are the six games, the 12 schools that have been selected as the finalists. Now, the voting process began yesterday, and the website to vote at is 94WIP.com/Turkey Bowl. Mm-hmm. That's where you can get all the information and links to vote on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or, of course, directly our website. Again, 94WIP.com/Turkey Bowl. So congratulations to the 12 schools, the six games that are the finalists. Those games are, Ray, Penridge and Quakertown, Woodstown and Salem, St. Burns versus St. Dots, Gloucester City against Gloucester Catholic, Boys Latin Charter versus Frankfurt, and Father Judge against Lincoln. Some classic games in there. One of them is going to be on WIP Thanksgiving Day, a Turkey Bowl broadcast, our third annual Turkey Bowl, which, of course, is sponsored by the U.S. Army Mid-Atlantic Recruiting, Gwinnett Mercy University, Stakem, Bradford Whitewater Heaters, and Jack Frost Big Boulder. So you know these schools, right? These are notable schools, and one of those games is going to be on Turkey Bowl. So John and I were thinking, it was really actually, I think, James with the idea that we should do a little trial play-by-play.
Ah.
And see how, like, Merrill's call of an Eagles play compares to, like, John and I. You know, a Merrill and Mike call compares to me and John.
That's fair.
So if you don't mind, Ray, we'll put you in the judge's booth coming up at 1:30.
Uh-oh.
And you can tell, well, the uh-oh is not the judge's booth. The uh-oh is the play-by-play guy.
Well, I know.
Because I'm compared to the standard of Merrill Reese, and I feel I'm going to fail. But I'm going to try. So at 1:30, we'll take a spin at some play-by-play from Eagles games. And we'll see how we must drop. Joe DeCamera.
Those are some good matchups there.
Yeah.
The Judge Lincoln one has been played forever.
Indeed.
I mean, that goes way, way back.
Yes.
That's a throwback to the old rivalries back in my day when you had the public versus the Catholic thing.
Sure.
And so the Judge Lincoln one's a real good one.
So Turkey Bowl, opportunity for an area game to be on WIP Thanksgiving Day. Again, voting process ongoing, 94WIP.com/Turkey Bowl, and spread the word, especially if you're from those 12 schools, to get the word out to your communities that try to get the game on WIP. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, Ray Dittinger with us, 94WIP. Hey, when you're hiring, you don't want to waste time. You want an efficient way to get to your short list of qualified candidates, and you want to do it fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. That's right, Indeed.com, used by over 3 million businesses. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. And when you need to hire fast, Make sure you accelerate your results with sponsored jobs. New users can try for free at Indeed.com/radio. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.